Blog Talk Radio.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael E. Cannon. And also today, I have my co-host, Minister David Clifton, along with me.
Praise the Lord.
We say praise the Lord to everyone. Amen. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. We're glad to be here on the day, and we're going to endeavor to bring truth. It's like I said, that the Word of God is truth when it's rightly divided. Like the Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
Amen.
And we thank
Amen.
God that we're here on the day. And we have chosen a subject today that a lot of people wonder about. And that is, we're talking about the Godhead. We're talking about the oneness of God. A lot of people can't understand, can't figure out God with the finite mind, that God is a spirit, like Jesus himself said in St. John 4:24, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And God is one, and his name is one. Well, people can't, they don't understand that God, the divine essence of God, is spirit. He is the eternal spirit that always was. In the beginning, God is a divine testimony, and there was only one witness on the stand, and that was God himself. So like we said in St. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And also, in Hebrews, the first chapter, the first word says, God, comma, who in sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he had appointed heir of all things, by also whom he made the world. So we thank God. We know that we're going to try to impart truth on this subject that we're talking about, and that is the Godhead. So the Godhead is in the Bible three times. The first time is in the 17th chapter of the book of Acts, and I believe the 29th verse says that we should not think that the Godhead is likened unto silver and gold. And the Apostle Paul was in a very wicked place here when he brings up this conversation about the Godhead here in the book of Acts. But we see here that the word Godhead is only in the Bible three different times. And the other two times, it's in the book of Romans 1:20, and it's also in the book of Colossians 2:9. So, and also we have another one of my co-hosts. I have two co-hosts today. The first one that I already made mention, introduced to you, is Minister David Clifton. And also, my second co-host is Minister Walker. Yeah, Minister Robert Walker, yes, is also a co-host along with us. So we want to get started here. And the oneness of God, people, they have so many different terms out there. Folks trying to figure out God with the finite mind, calling him the triune God and the Trinity, people say, you know, three persons in the Trinity. Well, there is no such thing. In the Hebrew canon, from Genesis to Revelation, the word Trinity is not in the Bible, period. It's not in there. but the Godhead, which means Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, to really break it down. God was a prophet. He also is priest now, and he shall be king. So God is one, and his name is one. He always wanted people to know that. So we start off with the Lord introducing himself to Israel, and he said in Deuteronomy 6 and 4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." Now, a lot of people don't like that because God gave unto the children of Israel the oracles of God. So God can do what he will. He is the one that created us. Like the psalmist says, we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. In the 100th Psalm, it says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, not them, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. And the Bible also lets us know, buy the truth and sell it not, also wisdom and knowledge and understanding. So as we move on in the word, we want to understand that. So people, in the beginning, God, people don't understand that God was, nobody didn't make him. He didn't make himself. He always was. He is what we call the self-existing one. He had no beginning. He had no ending. He said, I'm the first. I'm the last. Beside me, there is no Savior. Even I am the Lord. And there's none beside me. There's none before him. There's none with him. And there's none after him.
Amen.
We thank God, amen, for being able to endeavor to impart this truth to you all.
Amen. And as Elder Cannon is speaking here, and we're talking again about the Godhead, and that the Bible only declares that there is one God, and the only enemy of this teaching that is popular amongst the world nowadays is the teaching, like Elder Cannon said, of the Trinity. Now, by definition, the Trinity states that God is one being who exists simultaneously and eternally as a mutual indwelling of, catch this now, three persons. And then it goes on to say that those three persons are God the Father, God the Son, and then thirdly, God the Holy Spirit. And the first error in that is it mentions three gods. And most of the Trinitarians will try to say that they do believe in the Shema, and that is Deuteronomy 6 and 4. But then they go and they separate that one God into three. So one of the ways to show the oneness of God is to, if you will, tear apart the teaching of the Trinity. So that is another one of the things that we're going to do today, is not only will we prove that there's only one in the Godhead, but we will also show you the errors, if you will, in the Trinity. Amen?
Yes, man.
The Word of God says in the, as my co-host has stated, if we were to turn to the Book of Colossians. I think it says in Colossians chapter number 1. Let's turn to Colossians.
Yeah.
Chapter number 1. It states that verse number 15. It says, "Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature?" We know through right division of the Word of God that this is talking about Jesus Christ.
Amen. Yes.
So Jesus Christ is the image of the invisible God. In the 16th verse, we know that he is the creator of all things. So it was Jesus in the beginning. The Bible says in Genesis 1 and 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Is that right, brothers?
Yes.
So through Colossians 1 and 16, it says, "For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominion or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him."
Yes.
So that we know then through the Word of God, right division of the Word of God, that in the beginning was Jesus Christ.
Yes.
In First Colossians, verse number 17, it says, "He He is before all things.
Yeah.
And so in the beginning it was God, or in the beginning it was Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Is that right, brothers?
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
Verse also number 17 says, it says, if we was to rightly divide that, by him all things consist. So we know that all things was created by Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Verse number 18, he is the head of the church. He is a preeminent in all things. So in the beginning it was God. It was Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
If we was to go on in First Colossians chapter number 1, we know in verse number 19 that all fullness of Godhead dwells in him. And verse number 20, we know through direct division of the scripture, he has reconciled all things to God. So I could say more, but I just wanted to interject those things into this discussion so that we can prove emphatically that Jesus Christ is God.
Amen. Yes, amen. Yes, that's dealing with the sonship. So the thing that people, they believe that it's Father, God was Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. They don't understand that God is one and his name one, because God can never be what he is not. When he gets done being what he wants to be, he goes back to being what he always was, what he never ceased to be. He's always God. Even God, as it was said by the writer in Romans, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things that be not as though they were. And God said, my counsel shall stand and I'll do all my pleasure. So God can only speak something, he's going to bring it to pass. He said, remember the former things of old, I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning in ancient times and things not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I'll do all my pleasure. So the sonship was given for a purpose. The sonship came into being because of man's sin. Like the Bible says that death passed upon all men, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So Jesus is eternal, but the Son isn't.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
So
amen.
Jehovah, amen. Like he said to Moses, he said, I was known unto them by the name of God Almighty, but by my name Jehovah was I not made known unto them. We know after you leave the book of Isaiah, you'll never see the name Jehovah no more in the Bible. You just see mentions of this is what the Bible is talking about. What people are supposed to be preaching about is the gospel of Jesus Christ. But Apostle Paul calls it the gospel of Jesus Christ. He calls it the gospel of the grace of God. We have been reconciled to God by the death of his son. People don't understand that. A spirit does not have a body. God is a spirit. He's everywhere and he's every place. He fills all space. He can leave you, come to you. He's not gone anywhere. He's everywhere, here, now, there, God. Somebody say, like when you're looking out, way out in the space. But God is not in space, but space is in God. Amen. That's the problem with us. We can't, you know, the natural man can't receive the things of the Spirit of God because they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. So, as it is called in the book of the revelation of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Like the Bible said, as God revealed this unto Moses. And the book of Psalms says that he made known his ways unto Moses. One word, revelation. He revealed it unto him. He revealed unto Moses in the beginning God, because nobody was there but God. Like I said previously, that there was only one witness on the witness stand, and that was God himself, in the beginning God. So John, he doesn't deal with the Son of God, or the Son of Man, or the servant, or none, like the other gospel writers do, but he just gets right to the point.
That's right.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So that's what we have to understand, that God can be whatever he wants to be and never cease to be what he is. So God's foreknowledge, that's why he said that he created all things by Jesus Christ. He is the same one. And people don't understand that, who he is, that he can speak as a man, he can speak as God. just like the prophet Isaiah was saying, who hath believed our report? And to whom on the arm of the Lord been revealed? And he goes on, he shall grow up as a tender plant, as a root out of a dry ground. You know, he hath no form, no comeliness. When we should see him, there should no beauty we desire. Said he was stricken, smitten, and afflicted. You know, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. We all, like sheep, are gone astray. Said the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. So, like the Bible said, sacrifices and offerings thou wouldest, in the book of the 40th chapter of the Psalms, and also the 10th chapter of Hebrews, says you wanted sacrifice and offerings, but a body thou hast prepared me. So the Lord had to come in a body, because all of those sacrifices of goats and bulls and heifers, those things could never take away sin. But he went, entered into the Holy of Holies with his own blood to put away sin, the Bible said, by the sacrifice of himself. And when he done that, he was operating in the office of sonship. And a lot of mistakes people make, they say, oh, the Lord is praying for me, seeing he ever liveth to make, he ever liveth, the Hebrew writer said, to make intercession for us according to the will of God. Yes, he's our intercessor. Yes, he's our unction. He's our utterance. He's our inspiration. He's everything to us, but he's got to have a vessel to pray through. As the writer said in Romans, that we know not what to pray for as we are, but the Spirit maketh intercession with groanings which cannot be uttered. He which searcheth the mind of the Spirit know what is the will of God. So he is the one that's working through us. He is the head, Christ, and the church is his body. Amen. Just like us in the natural. We have one head, we have one body. If you got two heads, you're a freak. Ain't no such thing as a divine trinity. They all three move at the same time, and they all agree and all that. That doesn't make sense. God is God alone, all by himself.
Let me add this, and then I'll let you continue, my brother. I think one of the points that has to be made on today is this, is that the Word of God cannot be, you cannot pick up the book, the Bible, and read it like you're reading a textbook.
Yeah.
That's a critical point.
Right.
Because the natural man, the natural mind of man cannot rightly divide the Word of God. Is that right, brother?
That is correct.
And so God has always intended for the Word of God to be taught by holy men, men that were full of the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to rightly divide the Word of God unless you have the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
You're not going to be able to teach the people of God unless you have the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And so what's going on today is that the Word of God, the Bible is being picked up by men, and they're attempting to give right division of the Word of God without having the Spirit of God. And therefore, in doing that, it's causing a lot of confusion within the body of Christ.
Yes, yes. You can't, like what we first stated, he's saying the same, we all saying the same thing. You cannot understand God's Word without the Spirit of God. But with God, one plus one plus one equals one. There's no such thing as three. Notice the word Godhead is only one word. And it actually, the dictionary definition tells you about the divinity. It doesn't really, they can't really give you a definition, but to say that he's divine and talk about his divinity, because God is one. That's all they can say. They say the state or quality of being divine, divinity, his divinity, or his Godship. So that's what folks don't understand. God is omniscient, which means he's all-knowing. God is omnipotent, which means he has all power. God is eternal, which means he had no beginning or he had no ending. God is immutable, which means he's unchanging. God is love. That's not an attribute of God, but God is the source and the supplier of love.
Amen, amen. And let me add this. how we were saying that you have to spiritually be discerned to be able to pick up the Word of God and not only read it, but to understand it. And when you allow man to tamper with the Word of God, that is where confusion comes into part. And if I could, earlier, Minister Walker declared and stated through the Scriptures, and that was Colossians 1:16, that Jesus was indeed the creator of all things. And also, if we can read in Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 2, it speaks about, and I'll just read it. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising his shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And the purpose of reading that is we find out that Jesus is the creator, and Jesus is the author, not only the author, but the finisher of our faith. Now, if you read the teaching or the doctrine of the Trinity, it will state that the Father is the author and the creator of all things. So there you have one problem, because the Scriptures are saying something different than what the Trinitarians are teaching. And you also have a problem because, again, in the teaching of the Trinity, they say that Jesus was and is eternal in his person or nature as the Son of God. So they are saying that the Son of God has always existed and always will exist. But again, if you understand the office of the sonship, you will understand that the sonship did not always exist, and it does have an end coming. And we can turn to our Bibles in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting at verse number 24, and it reads, then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and authority and power. For he, we're talking of Jesus here, the sonship of God, must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. And this coincides with the 110th Psalm. But again, spiritually, you have to be able to discern and understand this, that when God operated in the office of the sonship, that is something that was created. The way that I could convey you to understand this is, in the natural, I am a corrections officer. So I work in the office of an officer of the law. But that starts and ends when I step into that office. When I punch the clock out, I am no more operating in that office. So God can and will operate in many different offices throughout the Scriptures. And what we're just dealing with here today is the Godhead, where people try to separate that into three separate persons. So again, we're teaching that there are not three separate persons in the Godhead. Hebrews 1:3 says that Jesus was the express image of his person.
Yes, and it's hard to teach the Godhead without hopping around too, because like you say, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, because the God established the fact that he was one God in the Old Testament. There's times in the Old Testament when you hear the angel of the Lord went before him, sometimes, or before the camp of the children of Israel. Sometimes in the Old Testament, the angel of the Lord was literally the Lord himself.
Brother, let's talk a little bit about, you read the scripture, it says, on the right hand of God.
Amen.
Elder Cannon, he's sitting on my right hand.
That's
right. So let's explain this, brothers, because you're on my right hand, but I'm a separate individual, and you're a separate individual. So when Jesus says when the scriptures say he sat down on the right hand of God, some individuals may confuse that to believe that that's a separate individual sitting on the right hand of God.
No,
is that what that scripture means?
No, it's the favor of God.
Yes.
It's the authority of God. Like he said, when he couldn't find no one else, he said he bought salvation with his own arm.
Yes.
So the Bible, Jesus is the arm of the Lord.
Yes.
In the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?
Revealed, right.
Goes on, he shall grow up as a tender plant, as a root out of a dry ground. And he, that's talking about Jesus.
Amen.
So people don't just don't understand the oneness of God. God can doesn't have to cease to be who he is, to become what he wants to be.
Amen.
When he was the Son, he didn't stop being God.
That's right.
When he became the Son, He's the son over his house. The Bible said, whose house are we if we hold fast the things that we already have began with? But I want to go back in the Old Testament, in the book of Isaiah, the eagle eye prophet. And you know anything? There's a reason why people dub the prophet Isaiah the eagle eye prophet, because he was able to see so far away. Some of the prophecies that the prophet Isaiah prophesied were 700 and something years out before they come to pass. But one is here in the 43rd chapter of Isaiah, when the prophet is writing here, and he says, the 10th verse, "Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God form, neither shall there be after me. I, even I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior." And that word Savior is with a little s. "I have declared and have saved and have showed when there was no strange God among you. Therefore, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. Yea, before the day was, I am he. There is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, who will let it? Or other words, who will hinder it?" And we go on here in the 44th chapter of Isaiah. "Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last, and beside me there is no God. Fear ye not, neither be ye afraid. Have not I told thee from that time and have declared it? Yea, ye are my witnesses. Is there a God beside me? Question. Yea, there is no God. Semicolon. I know not any." And I just told you earlier that the Lord is omniscient. That means he is all-knowing. And if he's all-knowing, he don't know of a God beside him. I like to know how people then made a God, made another God. They just don't understand. The Bible talks about, in the book of Romans 1 and 20, even his eternal power and Godhead. In the very next verse, "so that they are without excuse." So we see, like the Bible says, be not in the book of Colossians, talking about the Godhead here, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the head of all things and things that he done, and how he, the Lord created all things by Jesus Christ. The purpose in himself to have a church, and the church is going to be Colossians 2 and 8. "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him," talking about Christ, the previous verse, "dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power." And we know that's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Just like Jesus spake when he said, and he spake as a man, he said, "No man take my life." He said, "I'm the good shepherd of the sheep. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." He said, "No man take my life." He said, "I have power to lay it down." And some people say he said, "I have power to pick it up." That's not what he said. He said, "I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again."
That's right.
He said, "This commandment have I received of my Father." And he also said in St. John 10 and 30, "I and my Father are one."
Amen.
And also when he said, "I'm in the Father, and the Father is in me." And what he was saying was, we know the Father and the Holy Ghost and Jesus are all one. But another way to put it, what a lot of people don't say, when he said, "I'm in the Father," we know the Father and the Spirit is the self same one. He was saying, "I'm in the Spirit, and the Spirit is in me."
That's what
he was saying.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
So we know who he is. And so you got to get an understanding. And anybody sent their son to be the Savior of the world? He sent the son, all right, because of the office. God is the Spirit. The divine essence of God is Spirit. That means the Spirit is invisible. He's the invisible God. He had to make himself known. So that's why he came. The Bible said he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, To them gave he power to become the sons of God. So we can see, and the Bible goes on, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And so John bare witness and cried, "This is he who I speak of, who is after me." He said he was preferred before me, John the Baptist said, and he said he was before me. So of his fullness shall we receive grace for grace. He said the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. He is the one. There's nobody else that said they prophesied of their own life, said they had power to lay it down. They had power to take it up again. Said 3 days they were going to be, as Jonah was in the belly of the well for 3 days, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth. No one ever spake of their own death and got up again on their own volition, amen, on their own power. He's the Lord omnipotent, reigneth. He got up on the third day to die no more. Amen. He led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. He that descended is the same. He that ascended is the same that descended first into the lower part. What is it? He that descended is the same ascended up far above all heavens that he might fill all things. So this is why we know. And he goes on to say there in the book of Ephesians, and he gave some prophets, some apostles and prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of his own body, amen, the body of Christ.
Amen.
So till we all come into the unity of the faith, unto the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, mature man, unto the measure of the fullness of the stature of Christ, that we be henceforth no more children tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, we may grow up in him who is the head, even Christ. So the Bible's not saying two different things. We got to understand what God is doing and how he's working.
Amen.
And he's right now working in the office of sonship.
Amen. And as Elder Cannon said earlier, he said that God is a spirit, and that is truth. And the Bible goes on to say that those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. But to understand another reason that the office of the sonship had to be fulfilled, a spirit cannot bleed. Amen.
Amen.
So,
amen.
In the Gospel of St. John, we have John the Baptist declaring, and he says, the next day, and this is St. John 1:29, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." See, God had to clothe himself in flesh, enabled to be able to produce blood. Amen. As we have read earlier, we said, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And down in verse number 14, it says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." And we can understand that if we run that with Acts chapter 20, verse number 28, Paul is telling his brethren here to take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to tell all the flock over which the Holy Ghost have made you overseers to feed the church of God, watch this,
yes,
which he hath purchased with his own blood. So again, God did not send another to shed his blood for his creation. The Bible says that he purchased it with his own blood.
Yes, sir.
So again, by revelation, we have to understand that Jesus was the one that sent himself. Amen.
Yes. Yes.
And if you understand that when God uttered the words to Moses, I do believe Exodus 3:15, when he says, "I am that I am." Once you understand what that means, and that means to become, God can become whatever he wants, but at the same time, he never stops being what he was, and that is God.
Yes.
Once we understand that, once we grasp that, then the Godhead will not be something that is confusing. Jesus became a lamb.
Yes.
But he also declared in that very same gospel, St. John chapter 10, as Elder Cannon said, that he is a good shepherd.
Yes.
Yes.
So
yes,
naturally, how would a person be a lamb or a sheep which needs to be guided by a shepherd, and also be the shepherd?
Yes.
That's God.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
And that is a wonderful thing about him. And many times through the scripture, God becomes many different things. And what we have to understand, when Jesus speaks, we have to understand when he's speaking as a man and when he's speaking as God.
Yes, sir.
When he met the woman at the well, he asked her for a drink of water.
Yes.
Jesus speaking as a man.
Yes.
But in that same conversation, he turned right around and told that woman, if you knew who I was, you would have asked me of water. He flips around and speaks as God in the same story. Amen.
Yes, two different things. Two things he said. If you knew who it is that talketh with you and the gift of God, you would ask me to give you living water. So that's so very important. But I wanted to say, as Minister Clifton had touched on, I am that I am. But they say that's the best they could do with that translation, because it would have said, I am that I will be what I will be. I will be where I will be. It will be just so many where's and what's and when's and all that. Like I said earlier, he can leave you, come to you, ain't going nowhere. He's everywhere in every place. Amen. He was seen walking on the wings of the wind.
Amen.
You know, so many things he done. He walked on the waves. Jesus, they saw Jesus walking on the water. They thought he was a spirit. And he would have, the Bible said that he would have passed by, but they cried out. He wasn't skiing. Wasn't no boat pulling him. He didn't have no skis on. He was walking on the water.
Let me add this, my brother.
And only God could walk on the water.
It goes back to something we said earlier, that the word of God has to be rightly divided, but it can only be rightly divided by men and women who are full of the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
You have to have the Spirit of God in order to know the mind of God. And I'm saying that to say this. There are a couple of scriptures that the Trinitarians use to give their proof that there are three persons in the Godhead.
Mm-hmm.
But through right division of the scriptures, these scriptures actually give proof of the oneness of God.
Yes.
I think that's what's interesting.
Yes.
If you really rightly divide these scriptures, it doesn't give proof to the Trinity. It actually gives proof to the oneness.
Yes.
A perfect scripture, if we could go there, brothers, I think it's perfect.
Yeah,
I think it's perfect timing. It's Matthew 28, verse number, 19 and 20.
Yes.
Especially verse number 19.
Yes.
Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
If you rightly divide this scripture, it doesn't give proof to the Trinity. It gives proof to the oneness of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
Right, my brother.
Yes, and you go ahead. In the 20th verse, he says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. So look at the authority that what he's saying. I'm with you. Like the Bible says, and the Hebrew writer says, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say that the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. There's only one Lord. The Bible said one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through you all, and in you all. So he goes on to say to every one of us is given a measure of faith, you know, according to the gift of Christ. And so those scriptures that I had mentioned earlier. But what I also wanted to say about the Godhead, the first place here in the scripture, in the 17th chapter of Acts, in the 29th verse here, for as much thing as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's device. In the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commanded men everywhere to repent. In the very next verse, because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he hath raised him from the dead. So we know that's talking about Jesus.
Amen.
So people don't understand that. Yeah, God is the eternal spirit, and the eternal spirit don't have a body. That's why I mentioned earlier in the 40th chapter of the book of Psalms, when he says, a body thou hast prepared me. And also he gives witness, the Hebrew writer, in the 10th chapter. So he had to make himself a body to be able to come and shed his blood. And so the Bible says, in Galatians, says, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law.
Mm-hmm.
So the Son of God came from the woman. The Spirit of God himself, the blood, came from heaven. So that's why he had blood that was, his blood was not corruptible blood like ours. So the Bible says, therefore, talking about Mary, that holy thing which shall be born in thee shall be called the Son of God.
Mm-hmm.
So the sonship is only for a reason, for a purpose. And he had to redeem mankind. So the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So the Lord had to take on a body. So the sonship is still going on right now. So during the tribulation period, the Lord is going to reign for 1,000 years. They're going to, in the book of Zechariah, the Bible says that they're going to look upon me, Zechariah 12 and 10. They're going to look upon me whom they have pierced.
Amen.
So that's why God, like I said earlier, even God who quickeneth or makes alive the dead and calleth those things that be not as though they were. His plan is going to be fulfilled. And so we can see in the book of Timothy, the Bible says there is one God and says there is one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus.
Amen.
That's the office of sonship. So they're going to look upon him whom they have pierced. They're going to see those marks in his hands and his feet. When did you get those? He's going to say, I was wounded in the house of my friend.
Yes.
So then the sonship is given. So God can appear in any form that he wants to appear in. So that's why the Bible tells us, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for some have entertained angels unaware. So it doesn't matter. Just like when Peter was in jail, they was praying. Prayer was being made to God without ceasing about Peter when he got locked up in jail for preaching about the name of Jesus. But when Peter got out and went to this damsel named Rhoda, answered the door, she didn't believe that that was him. But God, the Bible said that he sent his angel to get Peter out of jail. Peter got out of there. He thought he saw a vision. One thing about it, that confirms, this is what the Bible said. The sun shall make you free, you shall be free indeed.
Amen.
Sun set him free, so he could preach at the day of Pentecost and freed him out of that situation that he was in. So we're free to pray. We're free to come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need, knowing that the office of the priest, the Lord is in the priestly office even now. It says, we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Oh, yeah, he knows, you know, about being talked about being stricken and smitten, about being lied on and all that. He was made a curse. He knew no sin. He was made sin that we might be the righteousness of God in him. And so the greatest mystery of all time, 2 Corinthians 5 and 19, the Bible said that God, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. What was he? The body, the Christ, the Christos, or the anointed flesh of God. That body that he was in was called Christ. Incidentally, Jesus' name was Jesus. He was Jesus the Christ. He was the anointed flesh of God. He was the anointed one.
Man. And if I could add on, when Minister Walker brought up Matthew 28:19,
mm-hmm.
and I think we have to deal with that. When it speaks of the name
right.
of the Father and
right.
the name of the Son
right.
and the name of the Holy Spirit,
right.
there's no argument with anyone, even those that may not be Christians, they will say that the name of the Son is Jesus.
Yes.
But then we have to, through the Scriptures, which does reveal the name of the Father
right.
and the name of the Holy Ghost.
Right.
Just a couple of Scriptures. Very familiar one is Isaiah 9 and 6, where it says that unto us a child is born,
mm-hmm.
unto us a son is given,
mm-hmm.
and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, catch this, the Mighty God,
yes.
and the Everlasting Father,
and the Prince of Peace.
And the Prince of Peace.
Right.
So there we have Jesus, because we know Jesus is that Son.
Right.
He is declared to be the Father.
He's declared to be the Father.
Again,
exactly.
in the
right.
Gospel of St. John 14 and 9, when the disciples, because Jesus had been teaching them the Father,
yes.
and they asked him, and if I could paraphrase here, they said, Lord, okay, you keep talking about the Father.
Yes.
Show us the Father
yes.
that
yes.
it suffices us
yes.
or satisfy us. And Jesus asked him, he said, have I been so long with you that you don't know who I am? He said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father.
Right.
Again, he tells him, I am the Father.
Yeah.
So through that, we have revelation of the name of the Father.
Yeah.
It is Jesus.
It's Jesus Christ.
Jesus said he came in whose name? I come in my Father's name. Well, Jesus only bore one name. That was Jesus.
Yes.
So, again, we see that the name of the Father is Jesus.
Yes.
We can also, through the scriptures, when Jesus was speaking of the promise of the Holy Spirit in the Gospel of St. John, chapter number 14, he's telling the boys about the promise of the Spirit coming back.
He says, he's dwelling with you and he shall be in you.
And he says that the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you.
Yes.
Speaking of the Holy Ghost here.
Yes.
But who is with them now?
Yes.
Jesus.
Yes.
And then he goes on to say that I, Jesus, will not leave you comfortless. I will come unto you again. He's speaking of the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
So first he says that the Father is going to send a promise again in verse 26. He says, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, catch that, in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. So he's saying that the Holy Ghost is going to come.
Yes.
He's speaking of another Comforter.
Yes.
If you were spiritually discerned, you would say that that is another person.
Yes.
The third person of the Trinity.
Right. Yes.
As they say.
But Jesus said that I will come unto you again.
Right.
He's telling you,
right.
I am that which is going to come unto you again.
Yes.
Right.
In a different office.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
So we establish in the fact that there is one God. Here in the book of Genesis, the 18th chapter, these three men that appeared unto Abraham and to his wife Sarai in the tent. The Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre and sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. He lifted up his eyes. And lo, three men stood by him. One of those men was the Lord. So as we go on to say here, they said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. One of those men was the Lord. God appeared, and Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door and was behind him. And Abraham said unto Sarah, and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. And so Sarah laughed. And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. So anyway, so the Lord goes on to hear, talking about Abraham, he knew him, and he's going to command his children to keep the way of the Lord, to do justice and judgment, that he may bring upon Abraham the thing which he had spoken. The Lord said, because of the cry of Sodom, he had to be going on his way. I would not go down whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is, come unto me, and if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went towards Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And Abraham drew near. So that means he started interceding to the Lord, and said, will thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? So the point that I'm establishing here, these three men that appeared unto Abraham and Sarah in the tent in the plains of Mamre, one of the men was the Lord.
Amen. Brothers, can we deal with these St. John, the Gospel according to St. John, chapter number one, and just for a few minutes? Because earlier we read Colossians chapter number 1, verse number 16 and 17. It says, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities, or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist.
Yeah.
We know that this scripture is talking about Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
But then we go to the gospel according to St. John.
Yes.
Help me out with this, brothers. Chapter number 1, in the beginning was the Word.
Yes.
And the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
Yes.
Is that what that says?
Yes.
And the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made.
Yes.
Brothers.
Yes.
Jesus is God.
Yes. Yes. And that's He's bringing in the introduction scriptures that we read. So that's what we're letting you know. We're not coming out of our own minds, but we're coming out of Route 66, and that is the Word of God, the 27 in the old, and the 39 in the old, and the 27 in the new. So it's not us, but it's the Spirit that dwelleth in us. He has made known his will unto us. So we know the will of God, that, like I said earlier, the will of God is that to have all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth.
Amen.
That's the will of God.
I like this too, brothers. St. John chapter number 1 says, verse number 9, 10, 11, and 12. It says, let me go to verse number 8. It says, he was not that light. He's talking about John. It says, he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is that right, brothers?
Yes.
That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world,
yes.
And the world was made by him, and the world knew him not.
They didn't know.
He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him,
yes.
To them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his
name.
His name.
Yes.
And that name is Jesus.
Yes, and that's the secret of the power. And back in the Old Testament, when he was saying that he appeared unto Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Exodus 6 and 3, but he said, but by my name Jehovah was I not made known unto them. So we know, we go on, fast forward, that the name Jehovah, Jesus, means Jehovah is become our salvation.
Amen.
So there's no confusion. And that's why the Jews were so angry like they were. Now, they got the oracles of God, so God is going to save the remnant of the Jews. But the Jews, make no mistake about it, they know that there is one God.
Amen.
And see, that's what people are so disgusted about. They knew that Jesus was saying, call himself the Son of God, that he was making himself equal with God. That's why he said, he made the statement, he said, if you believe not that I am he, you'll die in your sins.
Die in your sins.
So he
right.
is the one that Moses spoke about. Prophets shall the Lord your God raise up like unto me, him shall you hear. So we know that he is the one. And so trying to establish the fact that the Lord is one and his name is one, you can always see that back in the Old Testament. We wanted to try to just deal with that. And we're going to do a part two on next week because we know that time is limited. This is such a gigantic subject.
Amen, it is.
Well, we know mono means one. So God manifests himself in the sight of all Israel in the book of Deuteronomy. In the book of, 5, the 4th, in the 5th verse, the 22nd, the 27th verse. He also showed his glory and sent fire. His presence in the sight of all Israel. In the book of Leviticus. Also in the book of Exodus, Job saw God in a whirlwind. Job 38 and 1, 42 and 5. God appeared to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Samuel, Genesis 12 and 7, 17 and 1, 26 and 2, and 24. Also, Genesis 35, 9 through 15. Also in 1 Samuel 3 and 21, God descended on the mount Sinai and stood with Moses, revealed himself to the 74 leaders of Israel, came down in a pillar of cloud and stood in front of Moses. Yes. So we thank God for that. We know that he can do whatever he will. And just like it said about how Joshua, when the Lord identified himself, the captain of the host of the Lord, said that the fact of it wasn't matter about who was Joshua worshiping, the angel, or was he worshiping the captain of the Lord? But the fact that he was giving glory to God, one way or another.
Amen.
He was giving glory to God. So we thank God. We know that the time is far spent, and we're just about out of time. But we're going to endeavor to give you as much truth as we can here in God's Word. And so we want you to trying to establish the fact that he's one and his name is one.
Amen.
So there should be no confusion to that. So we're going to...
One who bows with me to the very end.
closing out here for a bit. We would like to thank you for listening. I love that. High five. And without controversy, it is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and seed up into glory. I want you to know that we're talking about God. We're talking about no one else. Just like the Lord came himself and not another. Oh, no, he wasn't a fake. Amen. He got up on the third day just like that he said that he would. He said that no man take my life. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. So we thank you for listening on today. And we're going to just have a few more minutes left here, but we want to make every endeavor to bring forth truth. As we have forestated, that the Bible is truth when it's rightly divided. And a lot of folks are explaining away the Bible.
Amen.
We want to put precept upon precept and line upon line and line upon line and here a little and there a little. Amen. To give you the truth of what the Lord says.
Amen.
And after all, I think it's an insult to God for folks to be trying to talk about something that they don't know what they're talking about. Because God is an all-wise God. And he gave his word unto those men when he prayed the priestly prayer in the 17th chapter of St. John. He said, I don't pray for these only, but them also which shall believe on me through their word.
Amen.
So we got to believe the word.
Amen.
Amen. And knowing that the apostles, they laid the foundation and they wrote the New Testament scriptures. And the Apostle Paul was one that was born out of due season. He said, and last of all, he was seen of me as one born out of due season. And he went on to say how he labored more abundantly than all the rest of the apostles. But he said, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. So we know it's not about us. Like the Bible said, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord.
Amen.
Just like Jesus said, St. John 6 and 63, it is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So that's what we intend to do, is to give life.
Amen.
Just like Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. So we thank God for that.
And if I could, I just want to close out, if I could, with this scripture again. Minister Walker read it in St. John 1 and 10, and it says, he was in the world.
He was in the world.
And the world was made by him.
Yes.
And the world knew him not.
Right.
And the sad thing is in that time the world did not know him.
Yes.
And there are still many that don't know him today.
Right.
So that is our goal, is to reveal him to you, because we want you to know the truth. That is
yes.
why we are called the Truth Ministry. We want you to know the truth. So we can only give you the truth by the truth, and that is the word of God.
And we know that the truth is the only thing that's going to set you free.
Amen.
So we just thank God for this door that's open, and knowing that people can only be saved by the truth of the word of God. So knowing who it's, this is more important than they're talking about getting a degree so you can have a job and going to school and getting a trade. Yes, we need all of those things, but we only have one soul, and we can see that God is the Lord is soon to come. He's soon to descend from heaven. And that's another thing. The Lord himself, the Bible says, shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, all simultaneously. And the dead in Christ,
yes, in Christ.
Shall rise first.
Yes,
then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Apostle Paul goes on to say, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. So we thank God. We can see all the signs of the end of the time, when the Lord's going to come and make his appearing to take the church away. He's not going to step back on the Mount of Olives until later on, after the tribulation period. He's going to step on that Mount of Olives and crack it in half. Amen. Then they're going to see him. Amen. So we just thank God. And not only that, he's going to come with 10,000s of his saints. God bless you. We'll see you all next time. See, yeah, you can hit the end now.